Gospel of John, chapter 4. And our text for this morning is the verse 29. The words of the woman of Samaria. She spoke to the men of the city of Sychar. She said to those men, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" The wonderful events which took place in the city in Samaria have been described as the revival in Sychar. We've only to read verses 39 through to 41 to find there that many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. Many believed on him for the saying of the woman. And then we read in verse 41, "And many more believed because of his own word." Revival in the city of Sychar. And this revival had its beginnings the day that the Lord Jesus must needs go through Samaria, and he rested by Jacob's well. As he sat there wearied and indeed thirsty, a certain woman came upon the scene, and the Lord began to speak to her. And as a result of what the Lord said to her in his ministry to her, this woman went back into her own city and spread the word about Christ. And as a result, revival broke out in the city of Sychar. Now, what is interesting about this event is that the Lord did not use the disciples as instruments, as channels of blessing, but he used the woman of Samaria. It wasn't the disciples who went into Sychar and spread the word about Christ. No, it was a woman of Samaria. And I look at this woman and I see her as a channel of blessing. A channel that the Lord worked through, and a channel of blessing that the Lord used. And here this woman, she enters into the city, and it is then, contrary to what happened when the disciples went into the same city, for they went in to buy bread or meat. But there was no stirring in Sychar, even though the Lord's disciples had visited that city. It was only when the woman went to the city that things began to happen. And so on this occasion, while the disciples had gone into the city to buy bread, this woman went into the city to tell the people about the one who is the bread of life. The disciples were not where the Lord could have used them. We're told they were gone away. They were not in the place where the Lord was able to use them. But he used this woman. He used this woman after, first of all, her conversation with the Savior. In verses 7, 11, and 14 of this chapter, we find the wonderful way in which the Lord spoke to this woman about her soul. there he was at Jacob's well, and they asked her to get him water to drink. And from the subject of water, he then developed the conversation into speaking about living water, and telling the woman that she needed this living water that would spring up into everlasting life. You want to know how to witness to someone about their soul? Read John chapter 4. Read how the Lord witnessed to this woman. How gracious he was. How gentle he was in speaking to her. After the conversation with the Savior, we see also her conviction about her sin. Because in verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that thou hast truly said." This woman had been living in sin, and was living in sin the day the Lord met her. "He whom thou now hast is not thy husband." And the Lord brought this woman face to face with her sin. And he did so, once again, in a very gracious yet direct manner. She was convicted about her sin, and that in turn led to the conversion of her soul. For we read in verse 25, "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." And her eyes were opened to see that the one who spoke to her at Jacob's well was none other than the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Savior. See, the Lord had to deal with this woman before he could use her. For the Lord will never use an unclean vessel. The Lord will always use and only use a vessel that is clean. And this woman, through the ministry of Christ, was brought to realize she was a sinner, and brought to realize there was only one Savior for her, and that one was standing right before her. So we look at this woman and how the Lord used her in this revival in Sychar. Used her as a channel of blessing. "How I praise thee, blessed Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be." We sang it this morning. "Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us. Thou canst use us every day and every hour." May the Lord use us and make us channels of blessing to others. First of all, we begin by considering this woman of Samaria. The channel of blessing was a woman of Samaria. It was a woman of Samaria that the Lord chose to use as a channel of blessing to the people of Sychar. When you think of it, she was an unlikely channel of blessing. Unlikely. To bring revival to Sychar, it may be supposed that the Lord would have used and chosen his disciples to go into the city of Sychar and preach, and God would work and bring revival. But no. On this occasion, he didn't use the disciples. He bypassed the disciples and he chose this woman. He chose and used the woman who was from Samaria. But then that's often the way the Lord works. He will often choose a man or a woman who in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of the beholder, would say, well, that's an unlikely person to be used by God. For example, God needed a man to succeed Elijah. Elijah had set a high standard, fearless champion for Jehovah. And who did he choose to succeed Elijah? A man who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in a field. He chose Elisha. An unlikely choice in the eyes of the world. A plowman. And what was Amos the prophet? He wasn't a prince or a king or a president of any country. No, he was one of the herd men of Tekoa. He chose his disciples who were common fishermen. And to bring revival to Sychar, he chose a woman of Samaria who came to draw water. That's who the Lord used. Could there have been found a more unlikely instrument in the hand of the Lord to bring revival to Sychar than this woman of Samaria? But we should remember the words of Paul. Paul tells us about the kind of people that the Lord often chooses to serve him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For we see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, and the things which are not. In other words, the Lord chooses the nobodies of this world. That's what he's saying. That's what Paul is saying. Those who are not. The nobodies. Those are the people God chooses. And surely we all fit into those categories that Paul has listed there. Are we not just ordinary people? The woman of Samaria was an ordinary person. And the Lord chose the woman of Samaria to be a channel of blessing to the people of Sychar. See, the Lord can use any one of us. How often have you heard that? Not only an unlikely channel or choice, she was an unknown channel of blessing. Unknown. The only description we are given regarding this individual is that she was a woman of Samaria, one of many women of Samaria. An unknown woman. Her name's not given. an unknown woman from an obscure place called Sychar. You know, somebody, this is the only place in all the 66 books of the Bible where you have the name Sychar. It is not mentioned anywhere else in all of Scripture. It's an obscure city. And that's where this woman came from. And this is the woman the Lord chose. An obscure woman from an obscure city. An unknown woman. No name is given. Church history records the names of those servants of God who were used in the great revivals. You cannot think about the Isle of Lewis revival without thinking about Duncan Campbell. Duncan Campbell went to the Isle of Lewis to conduct a gospel mission. When he got off the boat, the elders of the church who had invited him, first thing they said to him, "Mr. Campbell, are you walking with God?" Needed to be a clean vessel, you see. And he went there and he conducted the gospel campaign. It was only planned for, I think it was 3 weeks. It went on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And revival came to the Isle of Lewis, and God used Duncan Campbell. My own home country, Northern Ireland, experienced a revival in 1859. It is recorded that over 100,000 souls were swept into the kingdom. And the name synonymous with the 59 revival is an unknown man called Jeremiah Manili. The Lord used Jeremiah Manili and others, of course, but he was the prominent individual. He went up and down the country preaching the word. God mightily used that man, Jeremiah Manili, as he used Duncan Campbell, as he used George Whitfield in the great spiritual awakening of the 1700s. And in the Scriptures we read about the revivals under Nehemiah and Ezra and Hezekiah. Great men, all household names. But whoever talks about the woman of Samaria? Very few. She's hardly ever mentioned in the same breath as George Whitfield, as Duncan Campbell, as Jeremiah Manili, as Nehemiah, as Ezra and Hezekiah. No, because she's unknown. She was a nobody. We haven't even got her name. And as we've already said, the Lord used many nobodies to further his cause. The 11th chapter of Hebrews, the great chapter on faith, with many names mentioned there, men and women of faith. But then you get to near the end of that chapter 11, and we're told about what men and women did for God, and there's not one name given. Hebrews 11, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments, and were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Who were they? No name given. But God used them. And dear believer, you and I are not known in this world except in our immediate, amongst our immediate friends. People hardly know us outside the town in which we live. We're nobodies in this world. We're not known to men, but praise God, we're known to heaven. And God can use any one of us. Actually, that's a good qualification. Being a nobody. Because whenever you're a nobody, well, you can't take any glory for yourself. If God is pleased to use us, we can't take any glory because we're nobodies. We give all the glory to the Lord. And he deserves all the glory because the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. A land or store, I may be poor, my place unknown, my name obscure. Of this I have the witness sure. Bless the Lord, I have Jesus. Jesus knows me, as the Lord Jesus knows you. And the Lord Jesus can use any one of us if we are clean vessels and sold out to him. Unlikely channel, unknown channel, and an unattractive channel. Unattractive. You consider the woman that we're told about here. There's nothing very attractive about her, and of course I'm not speaking about her physical appearance because we're not told what it was. But when we're told about her background, when we're told the kind of a reputation she had in the town, in the city, you see, she was a harlot. That's what she was. Does that not bring home to us how unlikely this individual would have been to have been used of God? There wasn't anything very attractive about this woman's background. We look at our own backgrounds and there's not much attractive there either. But when we know Christ and he washes our sins away, he washes the past away also. And he restores unto us the years the locusts have eaten. And he can take us up and praise his name. He can and will use us. Who would have thought that a man who took part in a murder, whose hands were stained with the blood of an innocent man, who would have thought that God would have taken an accomplice to a murder and made him one of the greatest missionaries and preachers who ever lived? That's what he did with Saul of Tarsus. Paul's testimony, he said, and I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. I had my part in Stephen's murder. That's what he's saying. But then, of course, all changed there on the Damascus Road. When all his past sins were washed away, never to be remembered against him anymore forever. And God took that man, lifted him up out of the dust there on the side of the road on his way to Damascus, and lifted him up, and washed him and cleansed him and filled him with the Holy Ghost and used him as a mighty instrument. Used him as a mighty channel of blessing. Oh, listen, he can do the same with us all. Have you been washed in the blood? Have you been cleansed from all your sin? God can use you. Or maybe you're still in your sin. Maybe you've never been to the cross. Maybe you don't know anything about this salvation. Today would be a good day to start out for heaven. Today would be a good day to have your sins washed away. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing. Blood of Jesus. And who would have thought that God would have taken a man who was, we would call in our country, a tramp, a hobo, a down and out, a man who, when his mother passed away, as she was passing away, said to him, Willie, I've been praying for you. I hope to see you in heaven. And his mother went home to be with the Lord. And this man, Willie, came from a large family, and he was the youngest. And after his mother died, none of the brothers or sister wanted anything to do with him because he was a troublemaker. And he walked out of the house one day and he said he never saw the inside of a house for the next 2.5 years. He lay in the hedgerows and in the fields of Northern Ireland. They lived in a house with thieves and robbers. One day God saved him. His name, Willie Mullen, Pastor Willie Mullen. I sat under his ministry many a time. He became the Baptist pastor of Lurgan Church in County Armagh. He had the largest Bible class in Europe. He was a nobody. And God lifted him up, saved him, cleansed him, and made him a tremendous preacher. To me, he was one of the greatest preachers I ever heard. You can hear him. He's on sermon audio. Some of his sermons are on there. And the Lord did that with Saul of Tarsus. And the Lord did that with Willie Mullen. And the Lord can do it with any one of us. And he can make any one of us a channel of blessing. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? If you've been to the cross, the Lord can use you. And you can be a channel of blessing. Whatever years you have left, and none of us know how many days we have remaining to us. We need to get busy, for the night cometh when no man can work. We've considered the woman of Samaria. I want you to notice next her witness for the Savior. Upon her coming to know the Savior, we see that she immediately became a witness for the Lord. We notice her readiness. Look at the words there in verse 26. In verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and they marveled that he was talking to a woman and talking to a woman of Samaria, because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. But there's the Lord, and he's talking to a Samaritan. See, the gospel knows no barriers. Christ knows no barriers. We can preach the gospel to whosoever will. And the Lord preached the gospel to this woman. And the disciples came back, and they wondered that he was talking to this woman. But look at verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they came. There's her readiness. It appears that the woman couldn't wait to go back into the city of Sychar to tell the people in the city that she had found the Messiah, or rather, he had found her. Come see a man. With regard to her readiness, notice her haste. The woman did not need to be told to go. The woman did not need to be coerced. The woman did not need to be forced to go into the city and spread the word. No, we're told that she left her water pots and went. There's her haste. After all, she was on an errand of mercy to tell her fellow citizens who were lost in sin to tell them about the Savior. David once said to Ahimelech, the priest, he said, the king's business required haste. Well, this woman was on the king's business. No earthly king, but she was doing business with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the king's business required haste, and she made haste and went into the city of Sychar and said, come, come, come see a man. Told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is this not the Messiah? Maybe there are some in your life, in your family, in your neighborhood that need to be told about the Lord. Maybe there's some, and you need to tell them about the Savior, and time's running out. You may wake up some morning or get a phone call someday to tell you so-and-so has been killed in a car crash, so-and-so has died. And that so-and-so was a person you promised yourself you would go and talk to about the Lord. Listen to a testimony of a dear man yesterday. He's an aged man and he doesn't enjoy the best of health at present. But in the course of his testimony, he said, whenever his caregivers come in and the nurses come in and the doctors come to see him, He says there's not one of them come into this house and leave without knowing they need to be saved. That man is clear of the blood of all those people who come into his house. They'll never be able to say to him on the day of judgment, "Robert, you never told me." Oh, he told them all right. And maybe they're individuals and we need to tell, "Brethren, see per sinner round you, slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming. Hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go?" Her haste, her hindrance. The Spirit of God has recorded a small detail. Of course, there's nothing in this book by mistake. This good old authorized version, how we love it. And we look here at a little detail that the Spirit of God, the author of the book, has put in. Verse 28, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city." She left her water pot. Because, you see, that would have been too much of a burden for her. As you know, women in Bible lands would carry the water pots on her head. And she was going to tell the men of the city that she had met the Savior. And there was no time to lose. And so what did she do? She left that which would have been a hindrance to her, she left it behind. She was in a hurry to tell the men of the city about the Savior. You see, if we're to be channels of blessing for the Lord, we need to set aside the hindrances in our lives. What is it that's hindering you from being a channel of blessing for the Lord? What is it that is hindering you from being used of God? You need to set aside the water pots. Remember what Paul said to the Hebrew believers? Let us lay aside, just as the woman laid aside the water pot, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Mark the words. Let us lay aside every weight. This woman laid aside this weight. She laid it aside. Paul says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, hinder us, hold us back. And let us run. Let us run. We need to run. Time is short. Death is sure. Eternity is waiting. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, ever looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Is it not time to lay aside every weight and lay aside every sin that besets us and start running for God? Start running for God. Remember reading about D.L. Moody, the great American evangelist, And he had a Sabbath school. And as he was ministering somewhere in the open air, he saw this young woman, and he invited her to come to a Sabbath school. She said she would come. Mr. Moody waited the following Sabbath morning, looked out for this young woman to come. She never turned up. Later on that week, Mr. Moody was traveling through the city in one of those trams. And he looked out and he saw the young woman walking along the sidewalk. He jumped off the tram. And as he was going up towards her, she saw him coming and she started to run. And Mr. Moody ran after her. I know you couldn't do that today. But he ran after her. And she ran down one street and he ran after her. And down another street and he kept running after her. And she ran into a house and up the stairs and into a room. And she got under the bed and Mr. Moody ran up the stairs and into the room and looked under the bed and told her to come out. D.L. Moody not only reached for that young woman and pulled her out and led her to Christ. As a result of that, he led the whole family to Christ. Moody knew what it was to run after souls. This woman was prepared to run after souls. You have her haste, you have her hindrance. And with this, I'll close today. We'll finish it next week. You have her home. Her home. She had come out from the city of to Jacob's well to fetch water. There was only one city around there, and that was the city of Sychar. And after she met the master, we are told, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city. She went back home. That's what she did. And whenever she went back home and went back to the city, she told the men of the city, come see a man. I'm inviting you to come and see a man who told all things for I did, is not this the Christ? See, whenever we get saved, our evangelistic work starts at home. This woman knew the first place she was to go. She was to go home. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 18 concerning the demoniac of Gadara. And when he was come into the ship, that is Christ, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. In other words, Legion wanted to go with Christ. Wherever the Lord was going, he wanted to go with him. It's understandable, and that's good. But, read the next verse. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men marveled. See, it's the Lord's will that we start at home. Before the Lord left his disciples and went to his heavenly Father, he met with them in Acts 1. And he told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they would be endued with power from on high. And he said, I want you to be witnesses unto me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Where did he tell them to start? Jerusalem. He didn't send them to the uttermost parts of the earth first. He didn't send them to Judea, and he didn't send them to Samaria first. He sent them home first. Begin in Jerusalem. That's where this woman began, in her Jerusalem. She went home. She reminds me of another woman of a similar background. Her name is Rahab. And in Joshua chapter 2, we know the story of the walls of Jericho and how Rahab hid the spies. And then she engaged in a conversation with the spies and said of the cities to be destroyed, there were certain people she was thinking about. And she wanted them spared, and she wanted them saved. And we read in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 11, as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. This is the Rahab speaking. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house. Home. And give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Home. She was going to be spared, but she thought about home. The woman of Samaria had just met the Savior. And the first place she thought about was home. She said, come see a man. Told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? What about those people at home? What about your family circle at home? Have you ever talked to them about the Lord? You ever told them need to be saved? You can be a channel of blessing. And it can start at home. We'll continue this study, Lord willing, next Sabbath morning. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. O Father and our God, we of ourselves, Lord, were nothing. We are mere creatures of the dust. We've nothing to boast in of ourselves, nothing to take any pride in. For Lord, thou hast shown us in thine own infallible word the type of people that thou dost take up and use. O Lord, be pleased to use every one of us here today as channels of blessing. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Use us, Lord. Use us, we pray. Use me. And even, Lord, use us to bring about revival. Be with us now as we part the one from the other. Lord, take us to our homes in safety or to our abodes for today. And be pleased in thy will to return us to thy house this evening. We can spend time again in thy holy presence. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee. Amen.